In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When I was growing up in the 1960s and 70s, I got a subtle message from my family and the community I lived in. Don't stick out. Be like everybody else. The age had not come to my working class town that you could be anything you wanted to be. In my town, it was the norm to finish high school and go to work for Morton Salt or Packaging Corporation of America. If you got into those factories, life was considered good. Actually, I was only the second person in my family to go to college, which was not expected of the other kids or myself in my town. And I guess I didn't listen to their message in the long run, and my life couldn't be more different than what was expected for me. In our reading from 1 Samuel, we hear the people asking Samuel, who's the judge of Israel, to appoint a king so they can be like other nations. They didn't want to be a band of wandering tribes, but to coalesce into a nation with structures like other nations around them. They yearned to be like everyone else. The story of the Hebrews, from the calling of Abraham through the liberation from slavery in Egypt, placed God himself as king over Israel. When God delivers the Israelites from the Egyptian bondage and gives them the law, he establishes himself as their king. In a very real sense, the contest with Pharaoh in the story of Exodus is a contest between one king God and Pharaoh. In leading his people, God is the one who promises to go before his people as a king would do. Old Testament scholars have noted that the giving of the law and the establishment of the covenant between God and Israel follows the same form of covenants between ancient kings and their subjects in those days. Ancient Hittite treaties between leaders and the people followed a similar pattern as the structure of the Ten Commandments. People would have immediately recognized the implication that God is establishing the covenant basis for his rule as king over Israel. Throughout the scriptures, there are references to the fact of God as king. 15 of the Psalms alone are dedicated to this theme. In our reading this morning, the people continue to beg Samuel for a king. God's response is interesting. He goes on and on about what it will mean to have a king. God says, "The king will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to his horsemen, and some to his plow, to plow his ground and reap his harvest. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take a tenth of your flocks, and you shall be slaves." The people did not want to hear this, and they continued to press Samuel for a king. And so Saul was made king of Israel. As we see the story of the people of Israel continue in the time of the kings, what God predicted did happen, and ultimately under monarchical rule, both the nation of Israel was destroyed and Judah ended up captive in Babylon. This story repeats itself throughout history in our own times. We human beings are easily tempted to give the authority of God as king to other kings that we fashion into gods. We are constantly looking for a savior among us to improve our lot and make life perfect for us. This is true, I believe, in the way we elect our officials. Donald Trump was elected in large part because he tapped into a feeling by a segment of our country who felt left out and wanted someone to fix their lives, someone to save them. Neither Hillary, nor Obama, nor Trump can save us. Only the power of God's Holy Spirit can truly transform us into the people God would have us be. God asks of the people of Israel in the covenant he made with them to put his ways as the governing force in their lives, not false kings and gods. They don't need to be like everyone else. They have God as their leader. They wanted the easy way out, trying to be like everyone else instead of following their special call. Being special and unique in the case of the Jews was often expressed by segmenting themselves off from the other peoples. Yet I believe this is the exact wrong response to a special calling or vocation. Rather than being a people of special privilege to be set apart, they were called to be a people of special responsibility. Rather than segment themselves off in their specialness, I believe their unique calling was to teach the other nations who God is and how God as king changes lives. Rather than be like other nations, they were called to be teachers and leaders for others. And our call is no different. As people who claim to be followers of Jesus, we are not called to be set apart and special. Our specialness lies in our special responsibility to model living a different kind of life, one in which others will notice we're different and experience the love of God through us. Our gospel today carries this similar message. We see a very busy Jesus getting his ministry off the ground. He's been healing and casting out demons, teaching and appointing his apostles. He seems almost frantic with the activity taking place in and around Capernaum on the Sea of Galilee. His actions in this brisk-paced text have stirred the pot. He is harassed by the rumor of the crowd, demonized by the scribes, and annoyed by the pressure of his family, who think he has lost his mind. Here is evidence that no good deed of ministry goes unpunished. What's wrong with healing and casting out demons? Instead of order, there seems to be chaos. It seems that there are systems with a vested interest in keeping things just the way they are. Yet through all of this, Jesus remains on point, on mission and on message. In this chaos-paced account of Mark, Jesus moves along. He asked a few annoyed church folk, "Is it right to heal or just let a man with a withered hand suffer?" Jesus moves right along. His right, however, seems wrong to his critics. Because he is changing lives, he is deemed out of his mind. Because he is casting out demons, he must be Satan himself. Jesus came to love, heal, and forgive. And in this text, Jesus keeps moving right along and doesn't stop in spite of the critics. All of us at one time or another, I believe, can be like the people in these stories. When someone is trying to speak a truth that makes us uncomfortable, when we are challenged to reach beyond our own comfort zone for the good of another, when we are called to transform ourselves into the people God calls us to be, we can sound like the people from our first reading or in our gospel today. We too are tempted to want a savior to solve our problems and be like everyone else. We too are tempted to brand those who call us to expand our hearts and minds as crazy people. Leave us alone. Let us be like everyone else. God, I don't want to change. God, I don't want to be an agent of reconciliation and restoration. Just leave me alone and let someone else do this work. I'm tired and I've done enough. We all have something to learn from this today. Our call is no different than the call of the people of Israel or the call of Jesus. Rather than look for a person or a group of people to ascend to make everything right for us, keeping God as king of our lives compels us as individuals and communities of faith to examine what God is trying to tell us and what God is up to in our midst and our lives. how we are called to live out our vocation to spread the good news of God in Christ daily. We are called to live our lives in such the way that it should be evident to others. God is the sovereign of my life and yours. Amen.